Baseball season is upon us. We have started a new season of baseball. I'm proud that my Atlanta Braves are 5-0 on the road to 162-0. Well, maybe not, but anyway. It is also the beginning of Little League around here, and this is my new team, the Raptors. I'm coaching coach pitch baseball, and I think this is probably somewhere in the realm of about the 40th, between 40 and 45 opening day hats that I've gotten throughout the years. I've played on so many different teams from Little League all the way up through high school and to college, and then all the different softball teams, and then the teams I've coached with my sons. That is probably in the range of 40 to 45, and I always like getting that brand new cap. And I can tell you what I'm excited about this year is that I'm managing really the head manager for the first time since I've moved to Virginia, and I guarantee you, that we will not lose a game all year. We will go undefeated, the Raptors, because we don't keep score in the league I'm in. But nevertheless, believe you me, we will be undefeated. So I'm so excited about being able to do that and to have my my hat. And it's kind of appropriate that opening day was yesterday at Frederick County American Little League, and that I was able to be there with my sons, especially in light of the gospel lesson that we have today, because there's no gospel lesson that I've preached on more in my life than the one we have today. As a matter of fact, the very first sermon that I ever preached, I preached on this Sunday. The pastor, my first year of seminary at the church I was working at, went on vacation, as most pastors do, after Easter, and I preached on this text, which we have every single year, the text of doubting, or what has been called Doubting Thomas. So I've brought up this text so often and considered it from so many different angles. And it's interesting, when I think back on the very first sermon that I preached, guess what story I told? I told a story about how I got into baseball. And the way I got into baseball was that I went to school, they had already started, and the teams had been practicing, and all the kids had gotten their own baseball cap. And so I wanted that. I wanted something just like they had that I didn't have. So I went to my dad and I asked if I could go and play t-ball. And he signed me up and I did. And I got my own very first cap. In the very first sermon that I ever preached, I told that story. And here I am over 20 years later and I haven't improved at all. But it's a good story, especially on this day, because as we think about, when I think about the fact that I got a brand new cap back then, and that started me on this whole road, this journey, this adventure that I find myself today with this new cap, I'm reminded that it's very much like what Thomas experienced today. In fact, Thomas, and the story of Thomas that we had today, I think is emblematic for all of us about what it is to be the people of God seeking to follow Jesus Christ. And what is it that we're desiring from that? What is it that we are looking for when we come to be followers of Jesus? And so I invite you, if you have your Bibles on you, or if you have one of the Bibles in the pew rack in front of you, or just pull out your bulletin, to look at our gospel lesson today from the 20th chapter of John. Because it's a wonderful story to invite us into considering what does it mean that we come here seeking to have an experience with Jesus. Because I think that's why all of you are here for some reason. I mean, you're here because someone invited you, but you're also perhaps here because you desire something. You desire to have a relationship with God that is meaningful and powerful. And that's exactly where Thomas is. Now let's just look at this story from the very beginning and kind of to see what this new resurrection kingdom that Jesus is inaugurating with this story is all about. Now the first thing we notice is that when Jesus comes into this room, and we were talking about this the other day with my sons when we were doing Faith 5, and we were talking about, you know, Jesus coming into this room with the doors being locked. And we were like, well, how do you think Jesus did that? And we were talking to Noah and Micah, and Micah goes, well, he did it because he's Jesus. And I was like, Yeah, that's right. Well, good answer. Well done, son. But so anyway, didn't seem to faze him. So anyway, we move on. And what's the first thing that Jesus says to them? The first thing he says to them when he comes in is, "Peace be with you." So this new kingdom that Jesus is inaugurating, the very first thing we need to know about it is that it is a kingdom of peace. And I would dare say that many of you are here today, that many of you have sought to follow Jesus in your life because you too are seeking peace. Peace perhaps for a struggle that you're having in your life, or peace for a world that can maybe seem out of control, or peace in the midst of a broken relationship, or peace in the midst of uncertainty about what the future holds for you, or whatever it happens to be. I would dare say that we come to Jesus seeking peace. Peace for our hearts, peace for our minds, peace for our lives. As he then goes on to say, is, "My peace I give to you, as the Father has sent me, so I send you." Isn't it interesting that he then breathes on them the Holy Spirit? The second piece of what Jesus is inaugurating for us is a call to be sent. See, I would imagine most of you are here today, not only because you are seeking peace in your life, but you would like to be a part of something that's even bigger than you. To be part of this message, this kingdom, this body that seeks to be about making a difference in the world, that seeks to be about sharing a message of hope and promise for people who are in need. Indeed, to gravitate towards those things that help this world become more like the kingdom that God would have it to be. We all seek those things in our life. And the kingdom that Jesus is inaugurating here on post-Easter in the resurrection is one that is not only a place of peace, but a place of being sent. A group of people willing to go and to be about this message together. Then Jesus goes on to say to them, after he has breathed the Holy Spirit upon them, as he breathes that upon us in our baptism and in our life together as community, he then goes on to say to them, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them." And how many of us come to Jesus for forgiveness? We come for peace for our lives. We come to be sent. We come to hear and have that message of Christ be a part of our lives that sends us forth, and we come for forgiveness. How many times have we come to feel that word from God for our hearts and lives? Those moments when we have ceased to be who we know God is calling us to be, yet we need to hear from God that you are forgiven. And indeed, that is a part of this kingdom as well that Jesus is inaugurating. A kingdom that is based in peace. A kingdom where the Holy Spirit calls us forth to be agents in this world. And a kingdom that is about forgiveness. That is given to you. Now, all of these things are awesome reasons to be a part of the kingdom. And they're all awesome reasons for you to be here and to be seeking Jesus in your life most fully. But I think it's the next thing that happens when Thomas shows up that's the most vital and most powerful. I've said it before, I'll say it for many times, probably many, many Sundays after Easter in the years to come, that poor Thomas has been, you know, he's really gotten a bad rap. Called Doubting Thomas. And indeed, there are doubts there that we all can share and we can identify with, but it's kind of sad that that's what he's understood as. Poor Doubting Thomas. Everybody else didn't doubt, but he did. Well, you know, they got to see Jesus before he did. Thomas simply wanted something that other people didn't have. That's kind of human, isn't it? That's how I got on this road to getting this 45th hat or whatever it is. I wanted something that everyone else wanted. I have a feeling that Thomas had experienced the peace of Jesus. I have a feeling that he had also felt that power of the Holy Spirit lead him out. I also believe that he probably also had felt Jesus' forgiveness, but there was this one place that he had not experienced Jesus yet. And notice what it is. They come to him and say, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And he looks and he's like, oh, really? Yeah, well, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe, he says. But what's powerful to me is what he doesn't say here. He doesn't say, unless I get to see Jesus in all of his glory, unless I get to look him right in his beautiful angelic face. And no, unless I get to see Jesus, you know, walking around and holding my hand and everyone singing kumbaya, I will not believe. That's not what he says. He says, unless I meet Jesus in my woundedness and I meet him in his. It is there that Thomas says, I believe. You know, for all the things that we come for, looking for peace, looking to be sent and have an experience of the Holy Spirit that captures us, whether we come here to hear forgiveness, I think the main thing and the main reason we are about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Jesus is so that in our woundedness, in our brokenness, in the places that we are scarred, in the places that we have experienced death in our lives, we need to be met by a God who can do and will do the exact same thing. A God who is not afraid of our wounds, indeed a God who will meet us there. And you can see the powerful way that that experience affects Thomas. Notice he doesn't just go, all right, cool, I believe now, man, I can get with this program. What he says is, my Lord and my God, and have you not felt that in your life when in your woundedness you have been met by the healing power of Jesus who was raised from the dead? You have been met in your brokenness. You have been met by the God who has called you forth to live in this world despite our sin so that we can dare to share a message of hope for a world that is broken and needs it. And it's a message that we need to hear over and over and over again. And maybe this is why we hear it every single year after Easter. You know, this hat is a lot different than the first one I ever got. Although I would love to have that one. It was green for SOS Printing, my first t-ball team. We were awesome. But you know what? As powerful and as excited as I was to get that then, this is a little bit different, but it still comes with the same promise. A promise of where I'm not the one playing necessarily, but I get to watch my kids. And I get to enjoy the game in yet another year. And I get to be reminded yet again of the glorious hope of spring. It's kind of like hearing over and over and over again that Christ has come to be with you. We can never tire of hearing that message. We can never tire of receiving that hope. We can never tire of sharing with one another together. Peace be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.